Michael Conrad, welcome, sir.
How are you, sir?
Hey, it's good to be here. You're one of my very good friends, and you're also one of the smartest people I know.
I don't know about smartest, but at least I guess.
Yeah. So just kind of give our listeners just kind of a background, and I know you can't see Michael, but Michael is he's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu master, and I'm a very big fan of rolling and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We know a lot of the same people, right?
Exactly.
That are in this field. So he's a good dude, really good guy. He's a landlord, and he's also a real estate attorney. So it's going to be very interesting perspective today.
So a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
Basically, I've been an attorney for about 25 years now. I have an MBA as well. Basically, as you said, I'm a landlord. I own a few buildings. I did my first building basically in 1995. I bought a nine-unit
nice.
Building. Is what I ended up doing.
You bought a nine-unit building.
Yes.
Nice. Where was it?
River Grove.
Oh, sweet.
Still have it.
Yeah.
It. Great building.
Yeah. And for the national listeners, that's in Illinois.
Yes. Sorry about that.
You're right.
But basically, it's something that I got into because I was watching a lot of things. I had clients that were buying this, and to be perfectly honest with you, real estate, you know, they can never make more land. You can always redevelop it, but they can never make more land. And if you look back in the past in the history, even in merry old England, where our set of laws comes from, the power and the independence, if you will, as I like to call it, was in the landowners. Mm. If you had land, even throughout history, you were considered basically aristocracy, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's to me, that's how I got into it. And the way I look at it is, too, is it gives me an idea because I had a family, half my family was in the trade, so I also am able to do, you know, basic work. And if I can't do it, I know the people to call,
right.
So that always helps. But, I mean, this is something that, to me, can empower a lot of people with a lot of things.
Mm.
And it's something that even if you're just dabbling in it a little bit, to the opposed to the very serious investor on the matter, it's still going to, I don't see it hurting you. I see it helping you.
Mm.
And especially with these turbulent economic times.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Everybody always needs a place to live.
That's right.
So you got to go back to basic necessities. Okay. Stock market is great. You know, over the history, it's giving you at least 12% if you look at it long term.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into these things where your volatility, you know, you're having 1,000-point drops and 1,000-point gains day in and day out, that's enough to give you an ulcer and gray hair. So.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, and I mean, even not just stocks, but also bonds, commodities. I mean, everything.
With the market. But like I said, everybody needs a place to live. Okay. The one thing that we have done here in the States as opposed to other countries, though, is we've turned real estate into a commodity, if you think about it. So that's gone a long way to help people as far as getting used to this. And again, as you know, there's so many different strategies on how you want to get
100%.
Into it and how do you want to play this. Okay. Although one of the things that's getting hurt right now is a lot of the Airbnb or if you want to short-term rentals, as we call them.
Nightly rentals, short-term rentals, right. Yes. Yeah, mine got hit pretty bad. We've had I think last week we had six cancellations.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was nuts.
You know, and they're worried about that because, again, the travel is down. I mean, look at the airline industry. They were looking
$8
billion to bail them out.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. But, I mean, not only was it the airlines, but all the hotels, your cruise lines, any travel, anything.
Oh, it's so cheap right now.
Oh.
It's nuts. I think a round trip to Orlando from Chicago was $19, and I checked last night.
Yeah, it's crazy.
$19.
It's crazy. But who's flying?
Right.
Who's flying?
Yeah.
That's the problem. So, and the thing of it is, so you get to Orlando, you get to Florida, the beaches are closed, the bars are closed.
Well, they quarantine you, too.
Well, that's the other problem.
I think somebody said, there was 170 flights to Orlando. Oh, my buddy Andy Willamy said that. He says they had 170 flights to Orlando from New York because apparently New York is now this epicenter of what's going on.
Oh, New York is bad.
New York is bad. And they quarantined people for 2 weeks. They're quarantining right now for 2 weeks.
The last case I heard, they doubled the number of cases basically in New York.
Wow.
But again, you know, think about it. You're on an island. You're stacked one on top of another, okay? Nothing to New Yorkers. I mean, I've been there, but I mean, you know, and I feel bad for those people. But when you're so close to somebody, see, that's the thing with Chicago, which is nice. I call this the Chicago Metroplex because we're really spread out still. You can get away from these. You're not right on top of one another, even though it's a major metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do?
Like
I said, I just feel bad for those people. They've doubled the number of cases there, at least, and they're thinking it's going to grow exponentially.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, it's around the world too, you know.
Yeah.
It's majorly around the world. So you said your first deal was a nine unit. You were interested in real estate because of the history. They're not building any more land. you know, and you're very intrigued by it. When did you do your first deal? Like, how old were you? Tell me the details around that. Were you in college? I mean, were you out?
I was 21 years old.
You were 21?
I was 21 when I did my first deal.
Wow. Okay?
I actually tried to get my parents to actually buy a 6-unit building in Edison Park, Illinois, basically, which was part of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's the northwest side of Chicago. Really nice area. Okay. Right on Northwest Highway there. And they could have picked up the building at the time. I think I was 12 or 13 at the time when I was trying to get them to do it.
Wait, you were 12 and you were trying to persuade your parents to buy real estate?
I was trying to persuade my parents to do it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I had them on board to do it.
Uh-huh.
But the problem was they just didn't have the sophistication. Mm. They were teachers. They weren't used to going to banks. They weren't used to going to mortgages.
Sure.
And again, their mindset, now you're talking about people who now would be, you know, my dad would have been almost 90 and my mom is 84. So you're talking about depression area people who don't like debt. Okay, they never had a mortgage on their house. Everything was paid for as they went. That's the way they were used to. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you know, it goes back to the old adage: you got good debt and bad debt. Okay, we're talking about something that's good debt here now because I'm buying an asset and I'm leveraging. Okay, but they could have picked up this building for $25,000.
No way.
That same building just sold for over $600,000.
Jeez.
And it's gorgeous brick stone six flat. Okay. Beautiful shape still, again, right on a major highway, or a major street, I should say. It's called Northwest Highway, but it's basically a four lane basically each way. But, you know, how do you advertise? You put a for rent sign out. You can do it that way. I mean, you don't need people necessarily to do it. It's an ideal location. And again, very good area there. It's right near a train. It's right in the northwest, basically, side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. You've got restaurants. You've got shopping. Right, everything's right there. So it would have been ideal.
All right?
They even went, and you know, again, we're going back in the time. They even went to my grandfather to say, "Hey, can we borrow the money?" And he said, "What do you want that for?" You know, because his idea was, now here's a man who could have picked up a whole city block in Chicago.
Mm.
As it was, he only picked up three lots. Why did he pick up three lots? Because on the one lot, he built a two flat with a garage. Okay, always rented up the second floor that paid his property taxes. The second lot was strictly for his garden during the summertime and that,
okay,
and for them to sit on it. And the third lot, basically, was to him to give him privacy away from the neighbors, and there was a little cottage that they used to rent out on the
floor. Oh, I see.
So if he would have bought three more lots, he would have owned a full city block in the city of Chicago at the time. And again, why I asked him why he didn't do it, what do I need that for? Because that was his mentality.
Yeah.
Okay? It all depends on your perception on how you want to do this, okay? But the thing of it is, you got to be able to take the risk. The fact that they were willing to entertain that said, hey, we've got an opening here. Mm-hmm. Because I would see people, okay, friends of theirs that own multi-apartment buildings. And I mean, these people were raking in money, okay, and not working hard.
Yeah.
All right. Now, granted, you got to do your research, okay? The hard work was done when they acquired the property, okay? But to be honest with you, really, to maintain a building is not that hard, okay? At least that's been my experience.
Yeah.
If you do it right.
Now,
if you cut corners, yes, it's going to come back to haunt you.
Yes.
Okay. It's like anything else. You got to figure it out as you're building a house. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do I want to build this foundation out of straw? You know, do I want to build it out of bricks? What do I want to do here? Okay. So it's the same thing. And no matter what you're doing with real estate, okay, whether it's a short-term rentals, whether you're doing fix and flips, no matter what you're doing, okay, it's still a gateway to get you some financial independence, any way you want to cut it.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the fact that your parents were a bit intimidated because they were school teachers. And I think that's the reality of a lot of people listening to this podcast right now. You know, we call it the first deal experience because we have a lot of successful investors who've been investing for a long time or they've created some success. And, you know, they're sharing their story on the first deal. And for a lot of people listening, it's not what they expect. You know, they expect these people to be very, you know, on a different level of life. And it's not true. They're just like, you know, I mean, both of us, we're just regular average people, you know. So I'm glad you bring that up. So you did your first deal. It was a 9-unit building at age 21. So why specifically a 9-unit?
Well, that one happened to come up. Okay. I was looking at properties that were decent properties. I was looking actually in specific locations where I wanted to go. Okay. I was not looking at a place where I didn't want the extreme high end, but I also didn't want the low end where I'm like, all right, I got to put in a ton of sweat equity into this thing. Mm. Okay. I was looking at something where the building was in decent shape, needed a couple of maybe some upgrades or stuff like that. Things that it wasn't going to consume all my time.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the thing, you know, you like anything else, you can go, buy, you know, like if you go looking for a car, you can get a used car for $1,000 if it runs, but how much money are you going to put into it? How much aggravation is it going to give you? And it's the same thing with real estate. Or you can go buy the new stuff, well, that you're going to pay top dollar for that. But I was looking for something that was right in the middle of the road. And that in the geographic area that I was looking, that I had identified, it's mostly, it's a lower white collar, blue collar area, but it's a stable area. And that's what I was looking for, because my idea was, I already knew I wanted something that I was going to be holding long term.
And you knew this area rather well, would you agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you grow up around the area?
Not so much. I was around that area a lot. My grandparents were not too far from it. My cousins grew up in the area, and I used to go there all the time.
So you knew it was like a stable place.
Exactly.
Like people paid their rent. There was no shootings or crimes or anything like that.
It wasn't anything like that. That was all checked out. The schools were decent, we had a train station that was maybe 4 blocks away from the apartment. It wasn't in a flood zone, even though it was not too far from the river, so I knew the area, which was nice. And again, for your first deal, you want to be as comfortable as possible.
Yes.
Because you're already, with any type of thing, once you're doing this for the first time, no matter what it is, you're going out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with this, and it was very interesting because, again, you always had the naysayers. You know, I had friends of mine, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You know, come on, you got this money. Let's go on vacation. Let's do this. Let's do that. Okay. You're always going to have that. And my idea was, yeah, I'm the one who's laughing now, because basically these are the same people where they're still in debt up to their eyeballs, and I don't have that issue. Okay.
Right.
And this, believe it or not, going forward, I was still able to take the vacations because of this building, because things were generating from it. And it's been a great building. I can't complain.
Oh, you still have it?
Oh, yeah. I still have
it. Oh, nice.
I still have it.
Nice.
I got a couple more years before I got to fully depreciate it. And then basically, you know, at that point, then I'm going to see what I want to do.
Yeah.
But right now, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Well, share some details, man. How much did you buy it for? What are the numbers?
Okay. So,
I'm sorry. I forgot. I skipped over. How did you find it? How did the opportunity come about?
Okay. I happened to be basically going by and actually approached a person. They had a tenant for rent sign on it. Okay. And I happened to meet the guy.
Oh, sweet.
And unfortunately, this gentleman had gone through a divorce, and he had to sell the building no matter what. He was actually living in the first floor unit. And I had a conversation with him and literally said, hey, well, if you're interested, can we sit down and talk? And we did. And basically, this was a traditional deal where, because I wasn't, at this point in time, I was just getting into it, so I wasn't familiar with all the other fun stuff to deal with, how to structure this thing. So it was a typical, went, got a mortgage, had so much to put down, boom, 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 and away we go, okay? Just like you'd buy a house, you know? I put my 20, 25% down.
And did you save the money until you're 21 to do that?
I had all that.
You had money saved.
Before that, I'd been working for a long time, you know? Even in high school, I did it. I was a lifeguard. I would work, and then I worked down at the Merck, and when I was going to school and my undergrad and stuff like that. So I had money to play with as well. Plus, I had always had an interest in investments to begin with. And when I started basically putting money in stocks when I was about 10 years old under the guidance of one of my mom's friends, and he did very well. Okay. But that was his forte. His forte was the stocks.
Mm.
And it, literally, he's passed away now, but a great guy, taught me a lot.
Mm.
So when I got down to that point, when I was 21, and you're looking at somebody who's got $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, okay, what am I going to do with this? Okay, I knew I wanted to get into it. It's just the question is, the only way I knew how to get into it was, at the time, was 20 to 25% down, go get your mortgage, okay? So that's what we ended up doing.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And of course, my mom's like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Yes, I want to do this, okay? Well, okay, so what was nice too was, is it gave my parents at the time, they were still working, but they were getting close to the point of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, all right. So dad helped me clean stuff and fix things because he was handy as well. And I mean, it turned into almost a family affair once I did it. And once they saw what was going on, then it was like, all right, how can we do this? How can we help you? And that was nice.
Yeah.
Because we got over that fear. But I can remember still, it's like, you know, we paid $485,000 for the building.
Okay. And this is the 9-unit?
This is the 9-unit at the time. Okay. She appraised out actually for about $500,000.
Oh, sweet.
At the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, if you know anything about appraisals from banks, they usually go conservative. And for them to say it was about $500,000.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a deal.
Right. Unless you're like a doctor or you just read. And exactly. I know, you know, they're pretty conservative on appraisals.
Yeah. No, they're very conservative on these things. And the thing of it is, I had my 25% down. So there was no big deal on that. And it was, okay, let's do it. So we're signing the papers and that, and my mom came with me to do everything, and you know, we got the leases and we met the tenants and everything else. Excuse me. But it was a lot of fun because, again, it was an adventure, but one that I was willing to go and take, mm-hmm. okay? To me, dealing with people, I mean, I'd worked at the Merck at the time. I was basically getting ready to go to law school at the same time, so I figured, all right, to heck with it. You know what I mean? I might as well take the shot now. So I learned about leases, learned about landlord-tenant law, okay? Made sure that I knew what I was doing, and mm-hmm. it's worked out great, mm-hmm. okay? Plus, I've made some upgrades to the place. You know, one of the things, we've upgraded cabinets, I upgraded tile in the bathrooms. And what's nice is that, at least what I found, especially with tenants, if you're receptive to them and they call you, for instance, they say, oh, something broke, okay? And you say, hey, okay, I got your message, you know, just a phone call, even if you don't talk to them, I got your message just to let you know I'm either at work or whatever it is, as long as it's not an emergency. Now, obviously, if you got, you know, the pipe broke and you got water mm-hmm. spurting all over the place, whatever, you got to react right away. But let's say, you know, like a refrigerator and stuff like that, okay? And I've just had one of these happen to me now, all right, where literally my tenant called me up and said, hey, the refrigerator ran out, okay?
Yeah.
Which, of course, when's it going to go out? It's going to go out at the worst time possible, all right? So, but again, call back. Hey, I got one coming. It's not going to be able to be delivered until Monday. Great. Thanks for letting me know. You know, everybody was happy with it, okay? It's an aggravation, and you have to realize these are machines. They're going to break. Certain things are going to break, okay? Communication is so important with these things. And I had, when I bought the building, I had a lot of older tenants, and I still do in there. Mm-hmm. I've had, my average tenant in that building has been there for about 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm one of these people that I don't like to continue to get overhaul on a building where mm-hmm. tenants keep constantly flowing in and out, because you're basically destroying the building. Your walls get banged up, okay? You got to replace things right away, all right? A lot of them don't care, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I like to keep things as more of a family origin. I have one lady right now, believe it or not, and I feel very bad for her. She's been with me for almost 15 years. She's on dialysis.
Mm.
One of the tenants in the building, she gives him a list, and he goes to the mall and shops for her.
Oh, wow. Good.
You know, that's the type of thing that you got going on. And like I try to explain to him, listen, this is your apartment. This is your home. I'm giving it to you. Even though this is my building, you're paying me rent for it, you know, I want you to feel like this is your house, okay? So if there's an issue, call me. You know, let me know, all right? And that's the thing. And don't get me wrong. That being said, you always are going to have one person who's going to be nitpicky about things.
Yeah.
You know, there's always those people out there. But again, it's got to be reasonable what's going on. And I've been fortunate in that regard, okay? Even with, you know, we've gone through times where I had to replace boilers on stuff. I've had to replace hot water tanks. I had a call, this was last October, hot water tank was on 15 years at that point.
Mm.
It was still working fine because they're commercial, so they last about 20 years. Okay. But I had a power vent on it. It went out. One of my tenants called me and said, hey, there was no hot water this morning. Did anybody else call you? No. Okay. Get over there.
Yeah.
You know, this is, of course, is a Sunday, you know, morning, basically, which good luck trying to get somebody who's an HVAC guy over there or a plumber. All right. So I was able to get them hot water going, called my guys. They got in there the next day and replaced the hot water tank. Things like that go a long way for people when they're tenants. When they see that you care about your property, okay, then they will start to take care of their property.
Right. And that first deal, you got the 9-unit, you know, I know you managed it yourself.
You know, yeah.
It became a family affair. What advice would you say? I mean, would you recommend for people doing their first deal, would you recommend that they manage it themselves, or would you recommend they hire a manager? You know, and I know it depends on the situation, but if somebody's buying like a 4-unit or 6-unit for the first time.
4 units, you could probably get away with. 6-unit is probably the range of most people. Depends on your sophistication level, okay? Mm. Again, you got to do the research on the leases. You got to, you know, how sophisticated are you, okay? You know, I can do the paperwork and the legal stuff as well as I can lay a floor. I can do drywall. I can do basic plumbing and electric work, okay? What is your sophistication level with regards to these things, all right? You know, and again, the size. Now, that's a larger building. A 9-unit is a larger building, and that's why a lot of people are like, what are you doing? You know, it's your first deal. But to me, it was like, go big or go home kind of thing. And you know what? The opportunity was there. How do I say, okay, well, this is staring me in the face. You know, so you take what you get, okay? And that was one where I didn't want to let it go because it is a nice building. It's all face brick all the way around. It was exactly what I was looking for. But, you know, as far as managing the building yourself as opposed to self-managing the building, you know, for me, there's a couple of factors here, okay? One, where's your building located? My building was located in a decent area, okay? I wasn't worried if I had to go over there at midnight
right.
that somebody was going to jump me or stick a gun in my face, okay? That's one. Two, I know we're at the risk of sounding sexist here on a thing. I'm a man, mm-hmm. okay? If you are a woman that's buying a building and you're going to be doing this yourself, you got to be much more careful out yeah. there than a guy does, okay? Let's be realistic here, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's something to take into consideration as well. And that goes along with your neighborhood, who you have for tenants. But, you know, if you're renting out units and you're going to be showing them yourselves, you're going to be screening these things. You're going to be in there by yourself a lot of times with these people. It's like being a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things they tell real estate agents, don't go down into basements, okay? Agents have been attacked that way. So you got to be careful, okay? How's your vetting process? How are you looking at these people? Are you just going off a credit score, okay? Do you have a service that's saying, okay, we're going to look at X, Y, and Z, whatever your factors that you're choosing? Are you sending a minimum credit score, okay? And especially with the condition of things mm-hmm. economically, that's going to change a lot of things. Yeah. You're going to see people's credit scores going down. I'm not a big believer in credit scores, okay? I believe in kind of trying to talk to people and figure out what's going yeah. on with them and what is their situation, okay? Before we really got into the fact where we were using a service now, because it's just easier for me to use a service now to vet people. But I had one lady said, I'm not going to lie to you, I went bankrupt. You know, when the bubble burst in 2007, she was out in Vegas. She lost her house. She lost everything, wow. okay? Would I rent to that woman? Absolutely. And the question is, why would I rent to that woman? Because I'm going to tell you right now, that lady did not want to lose her home. Mm-hmm. She lost her job. She came back here because her daughter was here, okay? And she started renting. She rented from me for 5 years. You could have eaten off of her floors. She kept that place immaculate, yeah. okay? And when it got to the time where she said, hey, I'm going back to Vegas on a thing, you know, because she wanted to be out in Nevada. That was where she wanted to be, you know? We parted, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, she gave me 90 days notice and said, hey, I'm just going to let you know I'm going back out. Okay, no problem. The day she paid me up through the end of the lease, it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, she left the apartment immaculate. How could I ask for more?
Right.
Okay. So there's a situation where sometimes the numbers don't always indicate what the
yeah.
what's going on.
Yeah, oh, I agree. 100%.
You know, and you know, you got people that go through divorces. Yeah. Okay. Somebody may have lost their job. You don't know. Okay. I had a Vietnam vet in there at one point in time, and he was a great guy. Never missed it. All of a sudden, he was a tool and die guy. They shut down his company. This is going back years when I first got it. Okay. And literally, he went bonkers. Mm. They had to check him into a mental ward. Okay. Because the stress just got yeah. to him. All right. And I had to communicate with his family, come get his stuff. Let's get it out. Okay. They paid the rent. Yeah, they paid the rent. Not a problem. Okay. You know, there's all kinds of situations. I had a tenant, poor guy was on SSI disability. He had epilepsy, okay? Nobody would rent to this guy because he was on SSI. Why? That's guaranteed income. Mm. That check is going to be there no matter what, okay? Great guy. In fact, I rented him one studio apartment. It's 8 full apartments and one studio. And I rented him his studio. He lived there for 10 years.
Wow.
I felt so
Never bad. Late.
Never late. Always right on the money. It was, every time he'd see me, the guy was lonely, is more than anything.
Oh, I see.
Would say, hey, you know, can I help you? We want me to clean the floors. Do you want me to do this?
Oh, wow.
He was looking for stuff to do.
Good dude.
Great guy. Great guy. Okay. Could not get a driver's license because of the seizures in that. Sad part about it was that he got hit by a car at one point, and that's what terminated the tenancy. Man. He had to go in the hospital. So, you know, there's stories on all this stuff. But when I first met him, his mom was with him. He was very honest with me up front. I'm on SSI. I'm an epileptic, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I had friends when I was growing up that were epileptics. And you got used to it, so I knew what it was. I wasn't afraid of it, okay? Mm. You know, it's like a diabetic with their needles. It's the same thing. You know, some people, they see that and they get freaked out by it. It's a health condition. What are you going to do? Mm. You know, that's the person. That doesn't make them a bad person. That just, you have to get ready for that kind of stuff, though, because you're interacting with people. Mm. But yeah, first deal, it was a great deal. I mean, like I said, I still have the building.
Yeah.
It's in phenomenal shape. What's nice too is that River Grove does what they call triennial inspections. So they come through every 3 years. Okay. Mm. They look at everything, and you know, codes are always changing with building codes. Okay. So they, you know, hey, you know, we had washers, we had GFCIs in them. They wanted now caps on all the lights. They changed that, little things, but nothing major. You know, but at this point I've redone the bathrooms. I redid the kitchens. I've redone the windows in the property. I mean, it's a beautiful property.
Yeah. And this, it sounds like it's paid off.
It's not quite paid off, but I've used the equity in that to buy other properties.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well, we can talk about that here in a sec. But here's a question I have for you in that case. You know, obviously, you're around, as well as I am, a lot of aspiring real estate entrepreneurs. You know, guys who, or even gals, you know, who want to get into real estate. They want to own a portfolio, and they want to create, you know, they would do some things for themselves, which is great. You know, it's phenomenal. So what advice would you give to that individual? Hey, this is what you need to know. This is what you need to have prepared. You know, this is the team that you need to have built. You know, what would you say around that in terms of what do people need to have ready before they do their first deal?
Okay, the first thing they need to do is what is your target market? In other words, you're buying single family homes. Do you want to buy two units? You have a cap. Do you want to start small? Mm-hmm. Are you going to buy multi-units? Okay. That being the case, once you identify what you want to do, I mean, some people want to buy condos and rent them out.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it just depends. So once you identify that, then the question becomes is, okay, you're going to need a lease. So what do you know about leases? Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to vet your tenants. All right. So do you have a service? How are you going to vet your tenants? Okay. Because you got to be very careful with that. You don't want to discriminate or be accused of discrimination. All right. And there are housing authorities out there that actually will call up on signs. And if you're asking the wrong questions, you're going to get nailed by it. Mm. Okay. So that's something you want to protect yourself with anyways. And to be perfectly honest with you, you really don't want to play favorites. You want to get yourself a good person in there anyways. So if you're asking the same across the board, nobody can say anything. Okay. You're going to also need to know, depending upon what kind of property, if you've got a house, if you've got a building. Now, maybe not so much in a condo, but you're still going to need an HVAC, an electrician, and usually a plumber. Those are the three. Yeah. Those are the three main ones. Now, if you've got buildings or a house, you may need a carpenter, may need a roofer, okay? Anything to deal with the building trades, I always love to talk to tradesmen. You never know when you're going to need it, and a good tradesman is worth their weight in gold.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Yeah. They're becoming even more so now, all right? And the problem is there's a lot of guys out there that don't know what they're doing, okay? One of the ways you can find out if you've got a good tradesman is if the guy is just so busy. Okay. They're busy for a reason.
Yeah.
Because people want their services. All right. And that's what you have to realize. Okay. I just had to have some electrical work done. My cousin's my electrician. Okay. He's been here for years. But I had to wait 2 weeks because he was so busy with stuff that was going on before he could get over to me to do a small thing. But I'm not touching a 220 line. Okay. Because you fry yourself with that. All right. I'll fool around with low voltage, you know, 120s and stuff like that. I can do all the maintenance stuff, but this was something that was a little beyond what I know how to do. So, and again, you want people to be safe. That's the biggest problem, okay? Also, get used to some of the things. Listen to people when they tell you certain horror stories that they've gone into, not to scare you off, but for lessons.
Sure.
Perfect example. Heat goes out or it's cold in a place. What does the tenant do? They fire up the oven. Okay, that's how they're heating it. All right. Well, then that's something you want to make sure when you get a tenant in there, you discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't do that. All right. How about space heaters? Okay. Some tenants will use space heaters. Number one cause of fires.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you want to practice to the fact, and when you are renting to people, you have to take it from the fact that these people don't know anything, and that's really how you have to approach it. You've kind of got to be a teacher in many ways.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So to kind of summarize, so far you said you want to have a, you know, you want to be recognized the target market, right? What do you want to get? You want to be very familiar with the leases, you know, especially in that state, particularly.
Absolutely. Or municipality.
Or municipality, right? So you town, know,
for instance,
right? County.
Here in Illinois, Chicago's got what they call the Chicago Landlord Tenant Ordinance. Mm. You better be familiar with that because as a landlord, if you mess up one thing, you get stuck paying treble damages to a tenant along with their attorney's fees.
Right.
So for a little thing that may have only been like, let's say, a small error, you're going to get socked with over a couple $1,000s.
Mm.
So you got to be very careful with that.
Yeah. So knowing the ordinances and also having your team. So, you know, we discussed electrician, HVAC guy, and then the
plumber.
Okay. I'm the plumber. And you also discussed, what was the fourth one? What did you say?
Roofer, depending upon if
okay, that's
it.
Right. Roofer.
Okay.
Roofer.
You may want to have a connection also for windows and doors.
Yeah.
Okay. Depending upon how, the age of the building. This particular building I bought was built in 1978. Mm-hmm. So I had casement windows that were metal frames. Okay. So what happens with that? Your thermoseals fail. That's where you get your fogging on the inside of the windows. Mm. Okay. Now, could I have fixed those? Yes. It would have cost me about $500 a window to fix those. Why do I want to spend that? It's going to happen again, and they're metal frames. Metal sweats. They transmute temperatures, basically. Okay? So the cold from the outside is hitting the heat from the inside, and you get the sweating on the window. So eventually what I ended up doing was I ended up pulling all the windows and putting triple thermal panes in there along with vinyl, basically, sashes on them.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful thing. Deadens the sound because I'm now triple pane. And I get no sweat anymore, so I've just raised my R value.
Hmm.
So you got to think about these things. My doors, what am I doing to my doors? Do I do a traditional wooden door? Do I do a metal door? Do I do a fiberglass door, which has become very popular now?
Hmm.
Okay. Again, if it's a building or something like that, you're probably going to be looking at some type of metal security door, at least for the outer doors. Your inner doors, you can probably get away with just doing wood. Mm-hmm. Okay. But again, you're going to need a solid core. Some landlords have started to do fiberglass on the inside. Again, depending upon the building.
Yeah.
Okay. Of where you're at.
Hmm. So you also recommended talking to landlords, hear the horror stories, not to be scared off, but to be mindful, right? I'd probably also throw in there, you know, learn how to underwrite the deal, you know, learn how to make the numbers work.
The numbers are, that's good in the acquisition of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But before you even get to that point, you want to make sure that you're ready for this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because what's going to happen, your first hurdle is going to be something that you didn't plan for.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I suggest talking to other landlords and listening to the horror stories is not, like I said, to be scared away. It's kind of like an Aesop's fable. What not to do or how to defense against that. Okay. Now, sometimes you may not be able to defense against it. Okay. But certain things, for instance, perfect example. How many times have you known a tenant to go up when the battery gets low in a smoke detector, they just take the damn battery out? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that being the case, now you have a basically unit, if it's not required to be hardwired, that has no battery in it. It's effectively useless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that goes back to my thing of now they're using the oven because they're cold because they don't want to, you know, whatever it is, maybe you have a limiter on your boiler, or maybe it's they just an older person, they get cold or whatever it is, okay? How do you defense against that? Maybe you do a monthly check and go through there. Hey, I'm just checking, you know, and you could put that in your lease that, mm-hmm. you know, they're required to give you, you know, unreasonable notice to be able to get access to that particular unit, okay? My system, we ended up putting in a wireless system that has a control panel. It lets me know when there's trouble with any one of those particular units. So if one of my tenants goes up there and starts screwing around mm-hmm. when it takes the batteries out, it'll say, trouble with such and such. The minute I get that, I knock on the door, I go in, and I find out. And believe me, I've caught a lot of people that do that stuff because they don't want to replace the battery.
Right.
Or they may not know how to, and they don't want to admit that.
Mm.
Okay. The other one that you'll run into, for instance, is a lot of the municipalities want globes around the lights in the closet. Remember the old pull chain lights
where
it used to be just a bulb?
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
A lot of municipalities now want that because people will stack clothes all the way up to that light bulb and it was setting the clothes on fire.
Oh, okay? Wow.
So that's become pretty much standard now,
what
I've seen, at least around here. I can't speak to some of the other areas in the nation, but at least around the Chicagoland area.
Hmm.
Okay. So they'll take that globe off because that globe may be opaque. Okay, so it doesn't give as much light as they want, and they think they're going to get more light on it.
Nice.
So again, that's something you may want to think of. And maybe you don't do it necessarily on a monthly basis, or you do it on at least a quarterly basis, maybe when you're switching seasons.
Right.
Okay.
And this is great because this is stuff that you don't hear in the online real estate investing because it's not sexy. You know what I mean? But you don't hear it. Instead, you hear a lot of stuff like, well, what's the ARV? You know, well, I could acquire for this price and that. You know, so it's good to hear stuff like that. So What are your overall key pieces of advice for somebody doing their first deal? We talked about how to get ready, you know, to at least start looking, right?
You already know about your numbers. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure your numbers check out, okay? And again, that goes back to doing your due diligence, mm-hmm. okay? You know, don't be afraid to ask for a Schedule E from the guy who's selling it to you for the building.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, the seller is obviously, and this is human nature. If you're selling, you're going to overvalue what you think this thing is worth because you're trying to sell it to them, okay? And as a buyer, we know, where do we make our money? We don't make it on the sale. We make it on the buy, okay? Mm-hmm. But you've got to be prepared for that, all right? And you have to realize they're not doing it intentionally. It's human nature. Yeah. I've just come to that conclusion, okay? It's kind of like, you know, a man's house is his castle, so to speak, the old saying, mm-hmm. all right? Even if you're doing just a simple real estate deal where you're buying a house, your seller, if you come back with a home inspection, you know, issues, a lot of people will take it very personally,
yeah.
because that's their house. Okay. It's not to be personal. Okay. You have to keep it business. That's the first thing. So make sure your numbers are going to jive. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of it. Okay. If you don't know though, ask questions or go ask an expert. Okay. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. The ego has no place in this. Mm. It really doesn't. The only thing it's going to do is hurt you. It's going to really hurt you, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't want to be hurt by this. This should be something that you're enjoying because it's giving you financial independence. Because remember, you're not only getting hopefully a monthly stipend from these buildings, you're also building up the equity in these yep. buildings. So it's forcing you to save money if you think about it. Okay. The other thing that I would think about too is independent, you know, every state's a little different. As Illinois, we have this because of the property taxes, but you're going to want to get yourself a good property tax appeal company. So somebody who's going to appeal the property taxes on the matter. There's a lot of law firms that do it. We don't do it because it's a specialized area mm-hmm. on the matter, but they're worth their weight in gold. Mm. They really are. Okay. That's something that you're going to want to take a look at. Okay.
Yeah.
But getting ready for it again, your numbers are good. You've done your research on the area where you want to buy, okay? Take a look at your leases, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of landlords too, and this is, you know, hopefully you don't run into this, but again, you know, over the course, if you've done this long enough, you're going to find it. Your landlords sometimes will fudge leases.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is this, excuse me. So they're having a problem with a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give you the full rent basically at the closing table. You don't know any different,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because they haven't instituted it, and they're basically saying, okay, this person has not paid their rent, but they're going to pay you the rent like they've paid the rent because they want to get rid of the building, all right? So be aware of that, okay? Now, usually you cannot talk to the tenants when you're looking at the building, and you need to understand that. No landlord or no agent is going to allow you to do that, all right? Because if the deal doesn't go through, you have no right
Yeah.
to discuss anything with them anyways, okay? So to even ask them things of, you know, just a simple question, how do you like living here? That's a problem, okay? Those are things where you cannot go into that. The other thing is, don't just go there to look at the building when, you know, you're showing it. Take some time, just watch. Sometimes you want to watch and see who's around there, okay? What's going on with it? Take some time, take a look at it. If you're investing in a lot of money, especially if it's a larger size, like I bought a 9-unit, I used to sit out there and basically just watch the parking lot, see what was going on, see who was walking around, who would come outside.
And this is before you bought it.
This is before I bought it.
Nice.
Okay. Because I wanted to know, because it may not be the person that's living there that's the issue.
Mm.
Maybe you've got a tenant that's dating somebody, and all of a sudden that
boyfriend
person
comes over. Yeah.
Well, it could be the boyfriend, could be the girlfriend, could be anything. Yeah. Okay. The proverbial story, okay. You've got a lady you're renting to, okay, she's dating some guy, but he doesn't know that she's dating another guy any other time. Now you got a domestic situation on your hands.
Right.
You don't want it, okay? These are things, like I said, it's their private life, but when it starts affecting your other tenants, now it becomes your life,
mm-hmm.
okay? The last thing you need is to have squads there or things of this nature, okay? Ambulances, people get hurt, that's not a big deal, but when you start having squads turn up, now people get a different mindset. There's a problem. Okay. So you don't want that.
Right. And it's just the reputation of the building too.
Exactly.
You know, that tenant might not be there anymore, but just the reputation of the building is still there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And let's face it, people talk. I hate to say this. They want the dirt. It's like I call it. They want the dirt. What's going on? You know, if they see a squad car. I mean, look at it this way. How many times have you been driving down the highway and all of a sudden the traffic slows down because you got a state trooper that's got some poor guy pulled over and is giving him a traffic ticket? Come on, people. We've all seen this. It's
exactly.
But it's a gaper's delay. Everybody's got to stop and look. Oh, my God. Let's slow down.
Man, the amount of times where, like, there was dead traffic on the highway and I get there and there's a car accident, but it's on the other side of the highway. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Like, you guys got to be kidding me.
No,
you know?
That's human nature, and I don't know why, but it's just the way we are wired. It's like they want the dirt on something. It's like, oh, my God, what's going on over here?
Right, because then I slow down, too. And
you get the gaper's delay going on. Come on, people. You haven't seen a traffic. You know, traffic accident's one thing because, again, I think it's all like, oh, my God, you see these cars. Some of them are mangled as heck. But it's like you got a squad on the side, and the guy's giving them a ticket. Really? Come on. You know, I feel bad for the guy, you know, hopefully, but, you know, if you drive long enough, eventually you're going to get a coupon, as I like to call it. All right. Know what I mean? But still. It's, you know, the poor guy got a traffic ticket. Okay, big deal. It's not like we haven't seen this before. Drive, please, drive. We don't want to cause an accident. But it's the same thing with your building. You don't want to have that going on here. Like I said, an ambulance, one thing, but that's not going to, you know, things happen. I've got older tenants, okay? Like I said, I had one lady who fell in her apartment. She broke her hip, an older lady. There was an ambulance there. Did that change the reputation of my building? No, absolutely not. If there's a police officer there, Well, that's a different story, okay?
It's very different.
You know, because, again, older people, everybody knew what was going on. You know what I mean? And they actually felt bad because one of my tenants called because he heard her yelling on the floor.
Oh.
Okay? So it's fine. But, you know, that's fine. I'm glad they're trying to watch out for one another. But, again, it's one bad apple can change the whole dynamic of a building, and that's what you need to understand, okay? So when you're going into this. So get to know your tenants as well. Okay, don't just say, yeah, you moved in and I, you know, just sit. Get to know them well, especially if you're doing it on a small scale. Now, if you're doing this where you've got, you know, 300 units or whatever it is, no, you're going to have professional management people. You're going to have all that done. I'm talking about the person who's just getting their feet wet on this. Maybe they're buying the 2-flat or the 3-flat, okay, and they're just getting going. Get to know them, okay? A lot of times when I first bought that building, I had a little Italian lady that used to live on the first floor, okay? She was a widow. My God, she would clean the front hallway for me.
No way.
She wanted something to do, but she was my watchdog of the building. Anything that went on, when I would come over there to go and do my maintenance and stuff on it, cut the grass, whatever it was I was doing, she would come out, say hello, and say, hey, I just want to tell you this, or I just want to tell you that. Okay.
I love that.
Great. That's a beautiful thing, okay? Yeah. So what did I do for that person? I tried to keep her rent exactly what it was, because the way I looked at it was, you're watching my property, okay? You're helping me out. Now, you may not get that with a 2-unit or a 3-unit because you don't have the number of tenants, okay? But you also want to get tenants telling you things.
Right.
Communication is one of those things. Tenants don't like to tell landlords things, especially when they're broke, because they think the landlord's either, one, going to blame them, or two, they're going to raise their rent.
Right.
Okay? So that's the psyche that you're dealing with. You know, all the numbers aside, we've done all that fun stuff, okay? Because that's what you're going to get in your courses. They're going to teach you how to do that. This is the stuff that's not on the paper. This is the stuff that you may not be able to plan for either on some of these things, but you want to be aware of it, okay? But if a tenant realizes that, hey, yeah, I moved into the place, my stove is 10 years old, okay, and all of a sudden the stove goes out and the landlord replaces it, but he's not going to raise my rent because this is part of the normal wear and tear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying the tenant, you know, it's not like if the tenant took a hammer to the place, okay, it's a different story, okay?
Right.
You're going to get those two sometimes, okay, but hopefully it doesn't happen, all right? For instance, I had, you know, the interior doors are what they call hollow core. You understand what a hollow core door is? Where basically you have a solid core, which is basically one slab of wood. On a hollow core, you've got basically space in between. It's like two veneers on the outsides with ribs in the center, but it's hollow for the most part. So it's very, if you punch it, if you kick it, you'll put your foot right through it, okay? So what happened? Had a tenant, had a kid. What did he do? He got himself a Nerf bat, not a Nerf bat, but a wiffle ball bat, and somehow he put it right through the door, okay? So my tenant, I'm like, this was not an accident. This was caused. I said, you know what? It's coming out of the security deposit, or you can pay me out now. Okay? But again, how do you handle it?
Yeah.
You know, the tenant knew that what was going on, so it was like, all right, fine. We can leave it to the end if you want to do that. That's fine too, okay? But it's communication goes a long way on these things. But get yourself prepared. Understand your leases. Mm-hmm. Understand your rules. You've got your team in place with regards to your repairs and this. And the other thing is this. When you're buying a building and you're structuring the deal, you need to look and see what your maintenance schedule is going to require right away. Mm. Are those big ticket items? Because a lot of landlords, okay, for instance, I was just talking about a water heater. You got a big building, that water heater could be $10,000 to replace it, okay? Now, that may not be with a two flat or a three flat, mm-hmm. but with the size building that I was doing with, okay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
All right? If that goes out, okay, one, you got to bring in the guys to do it. Two, you're just writing a check now for $10,000 to do these things. Otherwise, your tenants don't have hot water. So take a look and see. Note the age of things, okay? Mm-hmm. Note the makes, too, because different manufacturers, their models go different ages on things a lot of times. It's not always an average. And sometimes it's a hit or miss. You can always get a bad piece of equipment, but you want to make sure what's going on. How old is the roof? You know, even if the roof is 5 years old, was there a tree that was overhanging it? Are you getting curling shingles now? Is there sap dripping off? What's going on? Okay, are the gutters cleaned out?
Right.
Take a look at these small things.
Well, yeah, and you know, even if you're not an expert at, or a contractor or whatever it may be, like, I mean, the least, what I used to do, because I'm not a quote-unquote handy guy, you know, but I used to literally just take pictures of the water heaters, the furnace, and I would just Google it. I just Google the make and the model
exactly.
and say, hey, what's the life cycle? Right. When was it installed? Because usually, you know, with those water heaters and they have the dates when it was installed. You know? So I always at least try and Google, hey, what's the life cycle of this particular make and model? Because you at least get an idea. You know, you at least get an idea what to expect. Right. Because, you know, I always tell people it's better to be proactive than to be reactive on these big ticket items. You know, so I want to ask you one question before we wrap up here. So you're a real estate attorney, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've been in real estate around for a very long time. And I'm sure you would agree that having a good real estate attorney is a valuable member of your team is very key. So in your opinion, what are some good ways for people who don't know a lot to pretty much identify a good real estate attorney?
Okay. The question becomes, first of all, one, what do they do? Do they do just residential closings? Is this one of their primary areas of expertise? Okay. There's a lot of attorneys out there that can do at least, you know, again, the state of Illinois is what I'm talking about here when I'm addressing this. Okay. Every state's a little different. For instance, California has very specific sections out that way. Okay. But one of the things you want to inquire about is that can you do commercial as well as residential? Okay. That's one thing. Some people will ask, how many transactions do you do? Mm. Okay. That's a big thing. The question is, how do you communicate? Okay. Most people are electronic these days. They want the emails. Yeah. Okay. And believe it or not, it's made it easier than trying to call people and, you know, and that, especially when you get older folks that you're dealing with. That's one thing. And again, what are they going to do for the services? Are they going to be there at the closing table with you, or are they going to send, you know, one of their associates? They're doing that. There's a company out there that, and I'm not going to mention names on that, that they're dirt cheap on the price and people use them. And basically, they're after they bring them in, it's like all you're talking to is a paralegal. You're never talking to the attorney. Mm. You're never going to hear it. Okay. I've seen things of that nature. Not a good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As much as it may seem like transactions are repetitive over and over again, because there are certain issues that we deal with, okay. Tax prorations, okay, inspection issues, any type of title issues, okay. Not every deal is always going to be the same thing. You're always going to have things that are going to be a little bit different, all right? If you're talking about investment property where you're talking about multi-units, and I'm not necessarily talking about the two or the three flat, okay, you could probably get away using a generic, you know, the proverbial family attorney for that, okay? But if you're getting creative with some of the strategies, owner financing, subject to's, lease options, things of this nature. You need somebody who's got the experience with it. All right. I've got a deal right now that I'm trying to educate an attorney who's just not getting it.
Mm.
Okay. And because of that reason, the deal is going to probably fall apart. Okay. Because my buyer has made a great offer, basically doing some seller financing on the thing. Is putting down 10% on the property with a 5-year holdback on a note and offering 6% to the mortgage.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. and the attorney basically put the kibosh on it. No, we don't want that.
Really?
Yeah. Because, one, they're looking at the fear of this, okay? Because my guy who wants to buy it wants to go in and rehab the house and then rent it out is what it is. And then eventually he probably would refinance it way before the five-year period. But still, wouldn't you like to get a guaranteed 6% on the money? It's not a bad deal considering what the mortgage rates are right now. This is a single-family home, by the way. This is not an investment type situation where we're talking about multi-units or something like that, because that's a whole other ballgame. But these are things that you want to ask the questions on, okay? And, you know, stop worrying about title situations, because that's what the attorney's there for, okay? But find out, you know, if you get somebody on that will talk to you and will answer the questions, because that's the first thing, because the attorneys are busy, okay? They're running around, and a lot of them don't want to take the time. You know, because people, the average person, if they're doing a house purchase, just says, well, what do you charge? Okay. At least in the state of Illinois, most attorneys charge a flat fee. Okay. Other states I can't speak to. All right. There are a few that will charge hourly. You don't want an hourly on that. You really don't. Okay. But those are the questions to ask. Ask what kind of experience, how many closings they've done. You know, figure out the number of years they've been in practice. Okay. Now, just because you get an attorney that's only done 5 years in practice doesn't mean they don't necessarily know what they're doing, okay? There might be other factors, all right? So I don't want to diss somebody out there.
Right.
I know I've met a couple of young attorneys that are very good at what they do, okay? But again, that's where their concentration's at. That's what they like to do, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, this is just for vetting the attorney. Ask these questions, okay? If you can and get them to talk, well, what's the worst deal you've ever had? Maybe they would answer that question. Okay. I've had people ask me that. I mean, I've had some horrendous deals over the years. Okay. Where it's just a nightmare. You know what I mean? I had a 3-unit building that we bought, and lo and behold to us, the building was supposed to be vacant. Family was buying it. They were going to move all the family into the units. Well, 2 of the 3 were vacant.
Oh, man.
That was a huge, huge problem, okay? Which it ended up costing the seller writing us another check for about $5,500.
Wow.
Yeah, because on top of it, the seller never told the tenant they were selling the building.
Oh.
So,
yikes.
I mean, these are the types of nightmares that you run into that, and again, you got to keep a cool head. You can't get crazy, you know, and just... People are going to react off of how you react, and that's what you have to realize. You have to keep calm. You have to keep collecting. You have to realize it's business. Don't take it personally, okay? You know, even when you're buying a house, even though this is going to be your castle, I get that, okay? Don't take it personally. As I said, we've reduced, in the States here, we've reduced real estate to a commodity, okay? Doesn't matter. You may have a 3-bedroom house, you may have a 2-bedroom house, you may have an 8-bedroom house. Some way we'll figure out how to compare the values to figure out and get down to a value. Okay? And that's the other thing. People, you know, don't be so quick to say, okay, we're going to sue. We're going to get the courts involved. All right? I try to tell people that's not the way you want to go. Okay? One, you're probably looking at anywhere from 6 months to a year in the court system, and God knows how many thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And it's not where you want to be, because you're not going to get your satisfaction. Okay? I've done litigation. I still do it. It's one of those things where I probably can count on one hand how many people have actually been satisfied, if you will.
Right.
Because nobody's happy. It's never quick enough. It's never not money. And they're still, they don't feel vindicated if they feel they were wrong. You're always better off knowing what you're getting and trying to negotiate it if you can, especially in a real estate deal. And that's the other thing. It's a real estate deal. It's not litigation.
Right.
Okay? You got an issue with something. All right. For instance, let's say the hot water tank's on its last legs, okay? It's still working, though. All right? So seller's going to say, I don't want to give you any money for this because it's still working. And under the typical contract we have here, okay, that's considered, you can't ask for it. Okay. So maybe I ask for some credit for it.
Or yep, like maintenance credit.
Or how about a home warranty? You know, again, you got to get a little creative sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. These are the things that you have to deal with when you start going through these particular issues.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, How good's your attorney? Does he do mostly litigation? Does he do mostly a negotiation? Really and truly, you kind of want a negotiator. Because the problem with litigators, while they're great in a courtroom, you're going to draw bad blood, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And you don't want that, especially at a closing table. You right. really don't. You want to make it, you know, they want to sell it. You want to buy it. We just need to figure out what the terms are.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, sometimes deals will fall apart because there's issues. Okay. You get a crack in the foundation that's a major repair, and maybe it's not in the seller's budget. Okay. That could be an issue. That could be a deal breaker. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Okay. Question is, how much are you putting in? What are your numbers saying now? And that's when you got to go back to what you've crunched and say, is this in my budget? Did I factor this in? Okay. I have a maintenance so much for my rent. I'm taking off for maintenance so much, but was I ready for this?
Hmm.
Okay. And the problem is these are the types of things, they're going to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
Yeah,
You know, your plumbing that basically hasn't been rotted in 40 years, there's no way not to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the next thing you know, 2 weeks after you buy your building here, all of a sudden your tenant calls you up and says, hey, my sink's jammed. Okay. Right. The plumber has to go all the way down in there. Or the building's built on a slab and all of a sudden the pipe underneath the building, which is your main sewer line, collapses because basically it's old and nobody knew that. Is that the seller's fault? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it was going on before, and you'll find out because after you buy the building, the tenants will start talking. They'll tell you that, the old landlord never fixed anything. I've had that happen to me. Okay. I had a lady, simple, the door wasn't lining up. Okay. The clicker on the thing basically wasn't hitting the strike plate. All right. Very simple fix. Okay. Took me 2 minutes. Went and got a striker plate, zip, zip, put a brand new oversized striker plate in, closed like a charm.
Mm.
The woman says to me, the old landlord took 2 days and still couldn't fix it. Okay. Well, what do you want me to say to that? It's fixed now.
Right.
Okay. You know, people are always going to have a comment on that. And that's the thing. And they're always going to tell you little things, and you're always going to feel that the landlords have hidden things from you. And sometimes they will.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's why when you're going through the units, take somebody with you who knows what to look for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's, they're going to give you a laundry list. Okay. They're going to make it seem like the building's falling down, and that may not be the case. And if you get that laundry list, don't be afraid to call up that inspector with you and say, listen, if you're going to live here, okay, give me a number. How would you think this?
Yeah.
All right. Perfect example is I remember my buddy bought his first house. Okay. And this was in Arlington Heights.
Nice.
And house was built probably late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice house, brick. Okay. Full basement, one level. And literally, we get the home inspection report back, and you would have thought you wanted to tear the place down.
Okay? Oh, yeah?
Every little thing he hit, okay? Well, he's looking at modern codes.
Oh.
All right? So my buddy's freaking out because, of course, he's married. His wife is pregnant. You know, this is their first place. So I said to him, I said, hey, call up the inspector because I read the report, and I'm like, these are minor stuff. I said, but you know what? Don't take my word for it. Call up the inspector. Tell him, listen, on a rate of 1 to 10, 1 being the place is a complete, utter disaster and should be torn down, and 10, you know, it's perfect, which no house is ever going to be perfect. I don't care if it's new construction or not, okay? What would you rate it? The guy tells him 8.5. Okay? I mean, but that's what you're dealing with. So now, you know, because, of course, he's looking at this stuff. He doesn't understand a lot of the stuff that he's reading, okay?
Right.
He's not a handy guy, okay? And he's freaking out, and his wife's freaking out.
Mm.
So, again, but take somebody with you. Forewarned, basically, you're good to go. You know what you're getting yourself into. It's when you don't know what you're getting yourself into that's an issue.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyways, man, hey, thank you for being here.
No problem. Thanks
you know,
for
great
having
stories,
me.
Very informative. You know, so I hope our viewers, it's actually audio only, so they never, you know, I just drank a bunch of water. They couldn't see it, so it's great. That's why I like podcasts more than I do the videos.
That's fine.
So I just have more freedom. But hey, man, thanks for being here.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Is there, so let's say that there's listeners in Illinois. How do they find you?
You can just send me an email, Michael@conrad-associates.com. That's the best way to do it. And just say, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, introduce yourself. Because otherwise, you know, I get about 30 to 50 emails a day. So it's
you're a busy guy.
Hey, can you answer this question? Who are you? And what, you know what I mean? So at least identify yourself, or at least where you heard me, you know, it's kind of a nice thing to do in a manner. And I'll try to answer your question if I can.
Yeah. And in worst case scenario, they can also email me, and then I'll just make a connection and things like that. So, all right, man. Hey, thanks for being here again. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a great one.